From KBIA News in Columbia, this is Intersection, Conversations in Our Community. I'm Sarah Shariari. This week, KBIA Health and Wealth reporter Rebecca Smith brings us a special episode. Rebecca works on a really interesting project called Missouri Health Talks, and here she brings us conversations on dental care in Missouri. Our guests are State Dental Director Dr. John Dane and Gary Harbison, Executive Director of the Missouri Coalition for Oral Health.
Hello, and welcome to this special edition of Missouri Health Talks. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Dr. John Dane, the Missouri State Dental Director, and Gary Harbison, the Executive Director of the Missouri Coalition for Oral Health. Today, we're going to be discussing the current status of oral health care in Missouri, hopefully getting a bit of a status update on the Missouri Oral Health Plan that runs from 2015 to 2020, and to talk a little bit about where Missouri's oral health care goes from here. Welcome, guys. Thank you for joining me today.
Good to be here.
Good to be here.
So, Gary, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you ended up at the Missouri Coalition for Oral Health, and what exactly is the organization?
So, yeah, the Coalition is a 501c3 nonprofit advocacy organization with the mission of improving the oral health of all Missourians through sound public policy and public awareness.
Great. Now, Dr. Dane, how about yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you ended up in dentistry, and how you ended up as the current state dental director. What is the state dental director?
Well, we can start with what is the state dental director. Currently, the position as it exists is a position in two different departments. Primarily, I am in the Department of Health, in the Office of Dental Health. The other part of my job is I work for MoHealthNet. And so I literally split my time 1 week here and 1 week there. The program on the Medicaid side is I'm the state dental consultant, if you will.
And then how did you end up as the current state dental director?
Until Gary and the folks at Missouri Dental Association worked very hard to get money to refund the position. We didn't have a state dental director for 10 years. The folks at the department reached out to me and asked me if I'd be interested. I applied and interviewed and got the job. In the meantime, I retired from Truman Medical Center, which made my availability a lot easier.
You retired just to take on a whole new job.
Yeah. And my wife hasn't forgiven me since.
and an easy job at that.
Well, yeah, right.
Well, before we dive into the Missouri Oral Health Plan, I'm hoping to kind of get a grasp from you guys of what is the current status of Missouri's oral health. I know we've seen some big changes in the last few years, the state dental director being refunded, getting adult Medicaid coverage. Gary, I'm going to have you take this, but why don't you kind of, for our listeners who might not know, what is the current status? How is Missouri's oral health going?
Well, we have made a lot of progress, as you've noted, and I think in terms of actually improving the oral health of the population, getting the adult dental benefit back into Missouri Medicaid or MoHealthNet is extremely important because that's actual access for care. And we know, because of Dr. Dane's work, we know that a lot of people are getting care through that benefit that haven't had dental care in many, many years. But we know that we still have many, many challenges. We know overall, it's fair to say that the oral health of Missouri is poor. We have a lot of areas where access to oral health care is still a tremendous challenge. Affordability is a big part of that, but in many of the rural communities of the state, people simply do not have a local provider, so they're faced with having to find transportation, maybe a county or two over. And again, it's a mixed bag. We've had a lot of work, particularly with federal qualified health centers starting to do dental care in rural areas. That's helped tremendously, but still, we struggle with this, and we know from every available number that we have a lot of work to do still.
Why don't we go ahead and kind of dive into this oral health plan? I was hoping, Dr. Dane, that you could kind of explain what is the Missouri Oral Health Plan, what was the primary goal of it, and how do you think it's going?
Well, any large organization, any long-term project, you know, you need a map to get there. And that's basically what the Missouri Oral Health Plan is the map to get us from point A to point B. And so the folks in that committee sat down and looked at, you know, these 12 different areas, and which, by the way, if I was writing it, probably would have been three different areas. But 12 different areas of what they perceived as need in the state of Missouri, and looked at it specifically and came up with things that should be done, or they felt should be done, under those major areas.
So we're kind of at the halfway point, right? 2015 to 2020, you know, July, I guess, would have been the halfway point of this year. How do you feel? Do you feel like you're achieving some goals? There's still work to be done, or?
Well, there's always work to be done. Okay, having said that, we're actually doing pretty well. We've done a lot of things in a lot of different areas, but with current environment, I think we're doing really very well. And you wouldn't want to get to the end of your trip before you run out of the plan. So.
So, like you mentioned, the plan is broken down into different goals. And so I'm just kind of going to dive in here on goal one. So I actually, in June, went down to Joplin to the 6th annual MOMOM, or Missouri Mission of Mercy. And while speaking with several dentists and providers down there, one thing I heard is that there has been a large, perhaps lack of data when it comes to oral health outcomes. And so I'm wondering if maybe you can kind of run me through some of this most recent data you guys have been gathering. Have you identified any particularly large gaps in oral health amongst Missourians?
Well, if you were to say who is having the worst time getting dental services, if you're poorly educated, that have low income, and you exist in a rural county, you have the most problem getting oral health care. And that's been true for a long time. We have, as of July 2017, we have 94 counties out of 115 that are designated dental professional health shortage areas. We actually have 9 counties in the state of Missouri that there's not a dentist who's licensed in that county with an office address in that county. Okay. Now, on the bright side of that, in 2010, we had 323 licensed dentists. As of July 2017, we have 3,288. Now, is that enough? The ADA says that we don't have enough dentists in the state of Missouri as it is.
Well, so I want us to move into goal three, which is a lot about information, education, especially between medical and dental professionals. So I'm actually going to have us listen to a piece that I gathered at MOMOM back in June. This piece is between a couple that came down to volunteer from actually North Kansas City, Debbie and David Vance. But one thing they talked about was one of these ideas that's isolated in goal three, making sure that medical professionals are aware of the link between oral health and overall health. So I'm going to have us take a listen.
Are there any other resources that you wish existed for the patients?
I wish it was a simpler way, or a facility where they can come, get it done, and at least get comfortable, or get something to get them by until they can actually get into a regular dental office.
But so instead of going to a medical urgent care or emergency
room,
they have a dental
area. Because
they
can't do much for you other than give you a prescription. That's it. Yeah.
And if it's inflamed, they're hoping that antibiotic will bring it down so they can go to the dentist and get it. And because if it's inflamed, go ahead and tell more about that.
Well, if it's inflamed, anesthetic usually does not work. So you have to get that infection out and under control before we can actually treat it.
Yeah, because if somebody comes in, they expect it to be pulled right then, and you have to turn them away and say, we can't do it.
Yeah, if their face is out to this, you know, it doesn't work. So,
and I'm sure that's frustrating for some of the patients, too, when they want something done right now, and then they're told they have to wait.
Now, when I was in oral surgery, we've had some cases where we actually had to take them and admit them and drain because it was so bad that it was just out of control, and that can go into your bloodstream, your lungs, and everything, and then it's a worse situation because now you're dealing with the medical situation and a dental situation. So you're inpatient for 2-3 days until that drains out and you get your system cleaned out. That's rough. And there's been stories about several dental patients that have passed for that reason.
I guess whenever you have the patients, you're kind of explaining to them how much the dental affects their overall health too, right?
Exactly. People don't think about that it can start in your mouth and it goes through your bloodstream and it affects a lot of different organs and a lot of areas. When you go through the whole process and show them that's where it starts, they're like, oh, okay. You know, you would think that you would be educated nowadays, but truly we're not. So that's why we're here. That's why we do this on a daily basis, to hopefully try to get that word out.
So we just heard from Debbie and David Vance at MoMom. I'm wondering if you guys had any reflections or thoughts on the piece.
The one thing that she mentioned about people with infections and winding up in the hospital, you may or may not have heard of the story of DeMonte Driver in Maryland, who was unable to access dental services in a timely fashion because he couldn't find a Medicaid provider to see him, wound up in the hospital, eventually died of a brain abscess or the sequela from a brain abscess, and it was all caused by an upper molar that was decayed. So even in today's modern medical world, with antibiotics and the wonderful things we have, people still die of dental infections. And it's something straight out of the 1920s or the 18th century. I mean, it's been that way for a long time, but it still happens today, even with modern healthcare.
And so goal 3 in the Missouri Dental Plan really touches a lot on this, making sure that dental professionals recognize that connection. And I want to really dig in on that. What is the connection between oral health and overall health? And is there a reason that the gap in knowledge, or at least practice perhaps, remains?
Sure. If you talk to a physician who's practicing today, he'll tell you that when he was doing his section on dentistry, he probably got 2 clock hours on it. And when he does his oral exam, he literally puts the tongue depressor on the tongue and looks at the pharynx and doesn't even pay attention to the teeth. And we have had the opportunity to provide some basic instruction to dentists along the way. We provide online information to them to help them understand a little bit about the basic dental disease process. When you start talking about systemic effects of dental disease, the medical community and healthcare in general relies on evidence-based types of dentistry or healthcare, whatever. And so there are not the double-blind, randomized, controlled studies that are done on populations at large to show that there's a direct link. So we're still at a situation where, for the most part, we don't have the proof that this one thing causes another, with the possible exception of in pregnancy. There have been some well-controlled, randomized studies done on the effects of periodontal disease on preterm labor and low birth weight. And that has become a very well accepted in the OBGYN community that mothers that have advanced periodontal disease are going to be more prone to having premature births and smaller babies if they don't get to the dentist. So part of your MoHealthNet dental benefits, even before we had adult dental services, was that if you're a pregnant mom, you got full dental services while you're pregnant and then 6 weeks postpartum. And a lot of women, came in and got a lot of care taken care of during that period of time just because of that.
This is Intersection on KBIA. I'm Sarah Shariari. Today, KBIA reporter Rebecca Smith is hosting a show dedicated to conversations on access to dental care in Missouri. Our guests are State Dental Director Dr. John Dane and Gary Harbison, the Executive Director of the Missouri Coalition for Oral Health.
We do a lot of things to just try to raise the awareness among the general population of Missouri about oral health. For example, August is Oral Health Awareness Month in the state, and we have done letters to the editor, which are getting published around the state. But that attracts attention, makes people aware that they need to pay attention to oral health, that it isn't an extra thing, that it's essential.
One of the other action steps here under educating Missourians about oral health is specifically about the emergency departments. I was wondering if we had the quantifiable numbers on how much money is being spent on, non-traumatic dental care in Missouri EDs.
The Department of Health and Senior Services has done, and they're maintaining it, a really great little study looking at expenditures for non-traumatic dental in emergency rooms, and the other component where people end up in the hospital for this. I believe it's still around about $17 million a year that's being expended on non-traumatic dental care services in emergency rooms. And again, not denigrating the work that is done in ERs. They do the best they can, but they're not set up to provide dental services in the emergency room. So by and large, that $17 million is not taking care of the underlying condition. It's assessment, and it's some care that will reduce the pain and the infection that goes on. In the case where people have gotten bad enough to go into the hospital, of course, there, you know, that's an extremely expensive thing to do for something that could have been dealt with by a dentist and never have gotten to that point. So,
Gary mentions the $17 million spent. That was in 2014. There were 54,000 ED visits in the state of Missouri that year for non-traumatic dental care. Mm-hmm. The advent of adult dental services, we have been tracking that. While I don't have numbers for you, I can tell you that the trend line is down. We are having an impact. The Medicaid individuals that are being treated in the emergency room is decreasing.
From a policy perspective, that's been very important that Health and Senior Services has been able to put that data out, because every legislator we talked with about ER usage for non-traumatic dental, you know, immediately saw that that was a red flag for a healthcare system that was not operating efficiently.
I'm going to actually have us listen to another piece from MoMom real quick. It is about education about oral health. This piece is a conversation between the two co-chairs down in Joplin, Michael LaFerla and Rob Ringer. This piece was about an Amish gentleman from Clark, Missouri, so more our area here in the Columbia, Jeff City area, who had come with a group down to Joplin to receive some care.
He came down with a large group. And it was early in the first thing in the morning, and I had to go to the dental triage to help out there to kind of help the flow of the clinic go. He told me that he wanted to get his silver amalgam fillings removed because he has oral cancer on his lip. And he told me the history that he had it surgically removed approximately 10 years ago in Columbia. And it had recurred, and he knew that it was coming back, and he didn't tell me exactly how long it had been there, but he had sought out help from a homeopathic doctor somewhere, and he had been using some herbal rinses and stuff like that, but the doctor had asked him if he had any silver metal fillings in his mouth, and he told, you know, confirmed that to him, and he recommended that he have those fillings removed because it was going to accelerate his cancer growth if he didn't get those removed. And so that just really hit home to me, because, you know, there's absolutely zero scientific evidence that's credible that proves that or shows that. And so this gentleman came all this way for that. And so, you know, I felt bad for him in a way, because we were not going to remove all his silver fillings to help treat his cancer, because that's not what was going to happen for him. So I personally walked him through the clinic, so he was hearing the same story and over from several different doctors that would confirm for him that, you know, his line of thinking was incorrect, and try to encourage him to see a medical physician that would be able to help treat his cancer that he had on his lip.
So we just heard from the two Joplin co-chairs of the MoMom event, the 6th annual MoMom Missouri Mission of Mercy down in Joplin in June. They were speaking about a gentleman that came down, and it really touches on that educating Missourians about oral health, I think. Now, Dr. Dana, I was hoping to hear your thoughts about the piece.
Cancer of the lip is usually quite treatable, and the survival rates for that are very high in that area. So if he receives adequate care from a cancer specialist, he should do just fine. The issue with the silver fillings, we know that the times that silver fillings emit the most mercury is when they're first placed, and unfortunately when they're taken out. The ADA's policy, as well as public health dentistry's policy, is that if you've got a solid, well-placed silver filling that there's no caries around it, don't take it out. and anybody goes around taking out sound restorations to replace them with something else is doing you a disservice. So as far as oral cancer is concerned, cancer of the lip is just part of it. Intraoral cancer and oral pharyngeal cancer is basically, there's two types. The first type is caused by tobacco use and alcohol. Those rates have stayed relatively the same. In the last 10 years, we've seen a spike now of cancers that are associated with HPV infection. You don't usually think of oral complications of HPV infection, but the good news is that those folks are relatively well treated and survival rates are in the 70s to 80% for those types of cancers that are linked to HPV infections. You may also hear from your dentist in sometime in the near future that they're recommending that you get the HPV vaccinations for your kids because of that situation.
You know, obviously, yep. This gentleman has been given misinformation about his oral health and about the cancer that he is suffering from. And we do struggle with that in terms of trying to make the public not only aware of the importance of oral health, but aware in an accurate manner. And so we run into these issues around oral health and other health conditions where people simply have information that is not factual, and in some instances it very dramatically impacts their health decisions.
We've talked a lot about the workforce. You know, there still are huge gaps. We're staying steady with number of providers. But what are you guys really doing to try and increase our number of providers, whether that's, you know, convincing younger people to pursue dentistry or making Missouri a more appealing place to practice?
We don't have enough dentists who are providing dental services. While the Federally Qualified Health Center dental clinics are doing an admirable job, most of them, if you talk to them, will say that their schedules are very full. And we have this problem where, you know, private practitioners literally can't afford to do dentistry for Medicaid patients because their costs of doing business are higher than, you know, what they get paid for the services they provide. And so we have a real issue in that area to try to overcome in the future.
So we're fortunate that we have two dental schools now. They both, to some degree, focus on trying to train people that are from Missouri communities and will go back to Missouri communities. Both dental schools have connections with federal qualified health clinics that are more prevalent in rural areas on the practitioner side. Obviously, no school can force graduates of dental school to go into the underserved areas. And, you know, dental students come out with a lot of debt. They're very interested in paying that debt off. And we do support the loan repayment program because that gets people into these underserved areas. Again, we're butting up against limited funding available for that. We'd like to see more money go into that so that we can see more folks go into these underserved areas.
The Office of Primary Care and Rural Health in the Department of Health and Senior Services has loan forgiveness money available for all health care providers that are willing to go into designated areas. Unfortunately, dentists in that situation have to compete with physicians and nurses, too, that are also interested in going into those areas. So it's a competitive situation, so we don't have as many folks that are doing that. And we are working with some of our other funders in the state of Missouri that are trying to formulate a reasonable loan forgiveness and perhaps even scholarship situation for dentists that will commit to providing services in a particular area of need. One of our biggest problems, of course, across the state of Missouri is that we have some of the poorest counties in the nation. In fact, I think if you look at the top 10 poorest counties in the nation, we have three of those are in Missouri. So if you're a dental student who's graduating from dental school with $250,000 worth of loan debt and you want to go into private practice, you probably won't pick an office in Shannon County because to set up your office, each operatory, you know, dental chair, space that you put in runs about $30,000 a piece. So it's very easy that you can see to be over $100,000 to open an office. So you've got a $350,000 debt to service right there. And you're not making any money. And so consequently, most banks are not going to be anxious to float you a loan. And so it leaves these small communities and areas in the, you know, poorer counties of the state at a real disadvantage to attracting dentists to those areas.
You know, we've got about 2.5 years left in this oral health plan. Where do you guys hope to be when we hit 2020 with this plan, with Missouri's oral health in general?
Well, it is as we've mentioned, it is a very it's a focused plan, but it is a broad plan. There's a lot in here. From the coalition's perspective, I would love to say that we would have accomplished everything that's in the plan. I'd love to say that we would have accomplished all the policy goals that the coalition has put out. Realistically, we know for a lot of reasons we're not going to quite be there. There'll be plenty still to be done. I'm hopeful that we'll start to see some progress that will responsibly change our healthcare system in a way that ensures that people are in a better position to maintain all of their health, including their oral health.
Well, specifically from the dental side of things, we'd like to see more children that are Medicaid eligible receiving care. We'd like to see an increase in the number of dental sealants that are placed per kids. We'd like to see oral cancer take a downturn in the state of Missouri. Physicians and dentists are working together to reduce the effects of periodontal disease and dental caries on overall health outcomes. And these are all goals that are attainable.
The thing that I would add is the idea that as a culture, we will all realize, policymaker and public, that oral health is essential to our overall health, and we all make it a priority. We make sure we get it. So we don't have, like we have now, large segments of the population who really think of it as something that they really don't have to even worry about.
Well, I want to thank you guys both so much for sitting down with me today and talking about dental and oral health care here in Missouri. This has been a special 30-minute oral health special for Missouri Health Talks. You can go online to kbia.org or missourihealthtalks.org to hear more conversations from the 6th Annual Missouri Mission of Mercy that occurred back in June, and to find more information and more reporting on Missouri oral health. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for joining us here on Intersection, Conversations in Our Community. And of course, thank you to our guests, Dr. John Dane, the State Dental Director, and Gary Harbison, Executive Director of the Missouri Coalition for Oral Health. Thanks to Rebecca Smith for hosting this week's show, and to Elena Rivera for producing. Our music is Montana Skies. I'm Sarah Shariari for Intersection, here on KBIA 91.3 FM.